wonder if you all might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are not dead, but you have risen. We thank you, God, for the calling that you put on our lives to be resurrected people, that that's transformative for us, and I pray that it will be. So God, as I speak today, I pray that somehow you might speak through me. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear exactly what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding and our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, happy Easter. Now listen, those 8, 9 o'clock folks, they have to come through the rain, did they? No. Y'all are special, you 11 o'clock people. And y'all who are sitting in the hallway, y'all are extra special. Extra special. And y'all can tell the 8 o'clock folks I said that too, that y'all are extra special because they came in the sunshine when it was all beautiful. No, in all seriousness, I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you've come to worship. I love Easter Sunday. The last couple of weeks, I've been driving around and I've been looking at trees. Anybody notice what's happening to the trees? They're just starting to poke out. Beautiful colors. We have this bush in front of our house. I've been telling my wife, I am pretty sure that thing is dead. Like, I am almost certain it's dead. And just yesterday, it started peeking. Like, it started showing off. It was like, hey, Tim, Easter's tomorrow. Reminder, it's coming. And it's this beautiful picture of new life. I love Easter. I love the hope in the midst of all of the other realities of the things that Easter brings. I love it. We've been in a series for the last 6 weeks here called Reckless Love, where we've been talking about God's call on our life, Jesus' command to love God with all of who we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And what does that look like practically? And I gotta tell you, we kind of discovered it's hard. It's hard to love your neighbor. Frankly, it's often hard to love yourself. And I think the resurrection of Jesus calls us to have the expectation that we're gonna do it, that we're actually gonna love our neighbor. Expectations are funny. I think sometimes expectations are the things that ruin Easter Sunday for people. Some of y'all, you got up this morning and you picked out beautiful clothes for your children. And they were like, nope. And you said, but the pictures. And they said, I don't care. Some of you all picked out beautiful clothes for your partners or your spouses. And you said, put those on. And they came down 5 minutes after the time they were supposed to. Nope, they didn't wear them. I bet not many of you all thought there was gonna be a torrential downpour as you walked into church this morning. Or maybe you got here and you said, I love sitting in row 3, aisle B, whatever it is. Somebody's in my seat. Expectations can ruin a day, can't they? You have all these expectations. This is the way it's all gonna go. And it doesn't necessarily go that way. And that is hard. I read something recently from a historian that was really interesting. American historian Daniel Boorstin suggests that Americans suffer from the problem of great expectations, great challenges, that it's one of the great issues he writes about in this book called The Image. This is what he says. We expect anything and everything. We expect the contradictory and the impossible. We expect compact cars, which are spacious, luxurious cars, which are economical. We expect to be rich and charitable, powerful and merciful, active and reflective, kind and competitive. And this is a big one. We expect to eat and stay thin. Somebody at 9 o'clock was like, amen. Amen. That's the only amen other than somebody over here gave me at 9 o'clock. We expect to eat and stay thin, to be constantly on the move, and ever more neighborly, to go to a church of our choice and yet feel its guiding power over us, to revere God and to be God. We have never been more the masters of their environment, yet never has a people felt more deceived and disappointed, for never has a people expected so much more than the world could offer. I mean, that's hard. That's harsh to name the realities of our American culture. And you know what? I gotta say, I agree with a lot of what he says. We live in that world where we have those expectations. I don't agree with one line because he said, never ever have a people been more disappointed. I imagine those disciples that followed Jesus were pretty disappointed on that Friday. I imagine they were pretty disappointed with the fact that the one who they had followed, their beloved, the one who had taught them, who had given them hope in a world that was becoming more and more hopeless, that he was gone. I bet that was hard. I bet their expectations were shattered. I want to take us to a text in the Bible that comes from Mark chapter 16 this morning, verses 1-8, about some women that were going to do a really important job. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Think about this scenario. It's a crazy story. These women are doing the tradition of what they're supposed to do. They are going to care for the body of their loved ones. They're going to anoint the body with oil, protect it, care for it. They're doing everything that they are supposed to do, and they had great expectations of how that day was going to go. We're going to get there. We're going to do this thing, except they have a problem. They're on the way to the tomb, and they realize they have a challenge. Oh, yeah, what about the stone? What are we going to do about that stone? Because it's too heavy for us to move. We can't move that stone. Now, you would think that a lot of people would pause there and problem solve. But the women don't do it. They keep going. They get to the tomb, and the issue is no longer there. The challenge is no longer there. The stone is no longer in front of the tomb. And they get a shocking announcement. They run into somebody in a white robe that's standing there, and that person says to them, don't be alarmed, right? Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. How many times when you walk into a conversation, maybe one of your kids calls you, or you walk into your house, and the first thing somebody says is, don't be alarmed. You go, yeah, I'm chill. I'm good. Right? When we get a call from one of the kids and they go, I have something to tell you. I'm like, alarm goes up. And actually, when you find these moments in the Bible where somebody says, don't be alarmed, they are very alarming. They act exactly as they should act. It is a surprise. It is unexpected. It is a big alarm that comes at them. See, friends, they got there and they were expecting to care for the body. And when they arrived, the tomb was empty. That was alarming. What had happened to Jesus? Where had he gone? Who had taken him? I mean, this was their beloved, who they had followed for multiple years, who they had given their life to learn from, to grow from, and he was gone. The tomb that was empty would change everything for them. They had expectations that were completely shattered, different than what Daniel Borstein's talking about. Their expectations were changed so much because now they believe that the risen Jesus could do anything, that he could change and affect anything. Their expectations became huge. See, I think the resurrection of Jesus should call us to believe that God can do great, great things. On the mornings during the week, I get the opportunity to go down to Hope Preschool, and I get to help kids come in. And every once in a while, you can tell a family's had a morning. Their kid shows up with a cape on. And I'm always like, yes. The mom's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's a cape. They'll be fine. But here's the cool thing. That kid, when they have a cape on, you know what they believe? They can fly. Like, they believe they have these superpowers. Or the cape is not the biggest one. The days when Spider-Man shows up. And Spider-Man's just walking. I mean, the mom's trying to grab the hand, dad's trying to grab the Spider-Man's like, pew, pew, pew. You know, shooting it out everywhere they go because they believe with all of who they are. They believe it. That they believe it so much they don't understand why the people are not laying on the ground with the webs on them now. Oh, to have the faith of a child. Oh, to have the belief of a child that your expectations can be shattered of the normal world. I think it's easy to look at our world today and wake up and simply think, here we go again. Nothing can be done about this. It's too hard. It's all such a mess. The wars, the pain, the suffering in the world are too much. The problems are too big. The whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. And there's nothing that can be done. And I bet for 2 days, those folks who had followed Jesus felt the same way. I bet they thought, oh my word, persecution is right around the corner. They're gonna come after us. We stood by Jesus and he left us. I bet for 2 days, their world was shattered. But look at the end of this passage. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Remember, he'd already told them. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were what? Because they were what? Okay, there you go. The rest of y'all join. They said nothing because they were afraid. See, I think it's easy for us to read this story and to go, what was wrong with those women? I mean, they got there. Jesus' body wasn't even there. Why wouldn't they run and tell everyone? You know the difference in them and us? We know the rest of the story. See, they didn't know the rest of the story. They didn't know what had happened. They didn't know, oh, he is not dead. He is alive. The resurrection of Jesus ended up changing everything for them. And frankly, friends, it ought to change everything for us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ ought to transform everything. In fact, it should change us so much that we can't help but run and tell the story. We can't help but run and share it because the resurrection of Jesus is so different from anything we might expect. I think it calls us to do something. I think it calls us to be something. I think it calls us to see something. Two things I want to give you this morning. I think the resurrection of Jesus Christ calls us to love people the way that God loves them. Maybe, just maybe, it's possible if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. The second thing I think it calls us to do is to actually be different. It's one thing to talk about being different. It's a whole nother thing to be different. So let's go back to the first one. Love people the way that God loves them. When these women got to the tomb and they saw that it was empty, it changed the way they saw things forever. It changed the hope that they had. It changed the perspective that they had on the world. It changed the way they could see people. They began to see people in such a way that the lens that they had for them was to believe there was hope for them. Look at the disciples, follow their stories beyond. If you look in the book of Acts and beyond, and you follow the stories of the disciples, they gave their lives for this because they believed that God deeply loved every single person in the world. They were able to see the world and people from a place of hope rather than from a place of doom and gloom. After they got over the shock, they'd be able to understand that Christ is not here. He is risen. And that changes everything. And here's the second thing. We have to actually be different. You know, one of the challenges people have with the church is that we talk about being different and then we go out in the world and be the same. We actually have to be different. We have to live lives that are different. We have to love people in a different way. We have to look for the people that are on the margins. And we have to claim hope for them and let them know of hope. We've got to look for those who are unhoused in our communities and help provide ways for them to get housing. We have to look for folks who are hungry and thirsty in the world and try to end hunger and thirst by serving people. We have to not be part of racism. We have to stand up against it. We have to be people that instead of putting a stone back in front, remind people that the stone is rolled away. We have to be those people who are different. And I know we talk about this at our church all the time. We talk about how it's not enough to simply come to church. Church has to transform us as we go out into the world. We have to live lives that are different. I can only imagine how different their lives were. Those that followed Jesus, the disciples, after the resurrection. Why? Because they believed it. Why? Because they knew it. Why? Because it changed their lives. Why? Because he was not dead, but he is alive. And my question for you this morning, does it change your life? Does it transform your life? Does it make you see the world differently? Does it help you pause? Does it give you a different lens through which you see the world? And then does it push you to act differently? To be part of hope in the world. Friends, there's enough sadness. There's enough gloom. And I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm really not. There's a lot of real pain in the world. I'm not trying to diminish any of that. The question is, will we be part of causing more pain, or will we be part of letting people know the stone has been rolled away? That there is hope, that Christ is not dead, he is alive. Friends, that ought to change us. I pray it does. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for how much you love us. God, for the hope that you give us in a world that can at times seem hopeless. God, how different might the world be if it actually did transform us? If your resurrection changed us. God, I pray that no matter where we are this morning, where we are in the midst of our story, that you might help us pause to give us new eyes, to see people the way that you see them, to tap us on the shoulder, to tell us how you want us to be different. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.